is the Savior that we need. He is the only Savior that can take us to heaven, because we can't help Him. We're just lost and wretched when He finds us. And He saves us totally apart from our own goodness. And He lifts us out of the miry clay and sets our feet on the solid rock. What a Savior. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 17 to 21. I think I've got up there 14 to 21, but that's not right. Miss Wanda caught that, but not in time to fix it. So we're good. Witnessing is something that everybody who is a Christian needs to do. This morning we want to look at why witnessing is so hard and how we can work with it. I think one of the big problems is that we don't understand our spiritual gifts. The purpose of the church is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to spread His gospel so as to advance His kingdom. Amen? That's what we're here for. Now, every one of us has a different spiritual gift. And Paul spends a lot of time in the book of Romans talking about how that if you happen to be the foot, you can't say to the eye, we don't need you. Or if you happen to be the eye, you can't say to the foot, we don't need you. Everybody is necessary. But what we need to understand about that is everybody's different. For one, it's easy just to walk up and start talking to somebody about Jesus. That's just their personality. That's their gift. For other people, that would be horrifying, because that's not their gift. Their gift may be simply to show compassion for somebody who's hurting, and through that, get the opportunity to just share their faith. Others may have the gift of service, and when somebody is in sickness or something, they can come and just help out, and through that, show the love of God. Witnessing is not always just speaking. I saw a t-shirt one time that I thought was very effective. It said, spread the gospel to every creature, and when necessary, use words. Whenever we are living our lives and we are intermingling with people, when we show them kindness, when we show them love, when we show them understanding, we are being a witness for Jesus. What did Jesus say? You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The good works that people see in us are not our good works. It's the good works of Jesus who lives within us. And so we need to understand what our spiritual gift is and then magnify that, because it takes every one of us for the body to function properly and do what it's supposed to do. Amen? We can't do this with just nothing but hit and run, what I call hit and run evangelism. Just going door to door and saying, do you know Jesus? That's important. It's a very important part, but it is not the only part. We have to have everybody functioning properly in order for that to work. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading with verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, use me as your instrument. Help us to understand your program of witnessing. And Lord, help us to understand the obstacles to it and how to overcome those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, What are the obstacles to witnessing? Folks, if we are witnesses for Jesus, if that's our job, that's why God left us behind. Otherwise, when we got saved, we just go on to heaven. If that's our job, then it doesn't matter what else we do in the world. If we fail to be a witness for Jesus, we have missed our calling. We have missed what God has put us here to do. And it doesn't always look the same. I believe that most Christians are frustrated with their inability to feel like they witness like they should. Amen? And so what we want to do is find out what God wants us to do so that we can be fulfilled in this ministry of witnessing. It's so many times we try to force everybody into the same mold. This is the way I do it, so you do it that way and you'll be good. If that's not your gift, it's not going to work for you. And so everybody has to find out what their place is. But one of the problems, I believe, with Christians feeling good about witnessing to the people that they come in contact with, I believe the biggest problem is they feel dirty. I know when I came to Jesus, I was under the impression that I was going to be holy from then on. You know, God was going to save me and take away all my sin, and I was going to be holy. And when I wasn't, I just kind of kept my mouth shut. But you know something? God could have fixed every sinful desire you've got if he desired to do that. But the Bible says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel so that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. Do you know one of the big things that helps people come to know Christ is whenever we tell them, I'm a sinner too. Sinner saved by grace. Because there is a big gap in the mind of every person on this planet between the saved and the lost. They see the saved are sinless and the lost are sinful. How do we bridge that gap? Well, God sends us to say, look, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. And so the fact that we feel dirty and sinful is not a deficit, it is an asset. Because it keeps us honest. It keeps us telling people what God wants them to know, and that is that he came into the world to save sinners. And so therefore, we should not let that be an obstacle. But listen to what he says here in verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now notice what he says. If you come to Jesus, you are a new creature. Let that soak in. You're not the same old sinner you used to be. Now you're a saved sinner. Now you have a new spirit that is within you. You see, that spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. If you die physically while you're dead spiritually, you're going to go to hell. But now once you've come to Jesus, all things are passed away. What is the old thing that's passed away? Well, let me tell you, salvation deals with the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it is the spirit that's dead. Before we got saved, we were still walking around. We were alive. We were eating. We were sleeping. We were working. But we were dead spiritually. We couldn't see that part. We didn't know about that part. But it was there and it was dead. And what we needed was new life. When we were born again, that spirit that was dead in trespasses and sins was made alive. And in that, we became a new creation of God. And so that we wouldn't mess that up, he seals us until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And that part of us never sins again. That's what it means to be a new creature. I had a young man tell me one time, he said, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, I got saved and I'm the same old creature. Didn't understand what the new creature was all about. To be a new creature, a new creation, means that something that was dead was made alive and sealed into the day of redemption. Now, what's going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell is whether that spirit is alive or dead. That's it. Your reward in heaven will be determined by how you lived your life, but whether you get into heaven is whether or not your spirit is alive or dead. And so in that, we are a new creation. And notice he says that all things are of God. I didn't help God save me. You didn't help God save you. It's all of God. And he says, God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He did all the work. He brought us to himself through Jesus Christ. And now we are in his arms, safe in the arms of Jesus. And we still have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Now, why did God do that? Well, he tells us very clearly, so that the excellency of the power is of God, not of us. The worst thing we can do as Christians is to go around and pretend like we're holy when we're not. Worst thing in the world you can do. Because you just widen the gap that's in already in the mind of people who say, Christians are sinless, lost people are sinful. There's this huge gap, and whenever we go around saying, yep, that's right, I'm holy, we just widen the gap in their mind. And so God leaves us with a sinful nature to always make us aware of what he did for us. He saved a sinner when he saved me. He saved a sinner when he saved you, and we don't ever need to forget that. And so whenever we think about witnessing, it is the basis of our witnessing. The fact that we're still sinners enables us to go up to some other sinner and say to them, Jesus can fix your problem. If he fixed me, he fixed anybody. And so don't let that be a problem for you. I want you to know that in God's mind, if you have Jesus living in your heart, you are complete. Amen. Listen to what he says here, Colossians 2, 6 through 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see, that's all it takes to be a Christian, is Jesus. We're complete in him. We've got it. And once we get it, we need to share it with other people. The thing I love about the gospel of Jesus is it works for everybody. There's nobody that can't be a sinner. Amen? Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And everybody who is human can qualify. Because we are all sinners. And so whenever we talk to somebody about coming to Jesus, it's not holy me telling sinful you how to be saved. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I just found it before you did. You see, that's the mindset that God wants us to have when we share the gospel. The Bible says that we are conquerors. You feel like a conqueror this morning? Whenever we think about being a conqueror, it makes us think of something that is tremendously victorious. We never have a struggle. No problems in our lives. That's not what it means. We are more than conquerors. Now notice the next little phrase. In Jesus. See? We have everything we need to conquer the devil. Not only in our life, but in the lives of others. Because what we need is Jesus. And what they need is Jesus. Listen to Romans 8, 33 through 39. Wonderful passage of scripture. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, Brother Allen, why, what's that got to do with witnessing? You got to have something to share. You've got to understand what you've got before you can take it to somebody else. The reason salvation is wonderful is because it is secure. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We have no way of losing this battle. We're going to heaven, folks, if we have Jesus. Eternal life begins the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ and you're going to heaven. That is a done deal. And so that makes it wonderful and it's for everybody. Share it. You see, until we understand that we are more than conquerors, until we understand that we are complete in Him, it may make us a little timid. Because they might find out that we're sinners. They might find out that we're kind of shy. They might find out that we don't know all the answers. But you see, we know somebody who does. And He lives within our heart. And He directs us. And I want you to know that the Bible says we are clean. This may be hard for us to believe, but it's true. It's in the Bible. That makes it true. Listen to what He says. This is Jesus speaking. It's written in red. It makes it important. John 15, verse 3 and 4 says this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Ye are clean. Doesn't it feel good to be clean? Say, Brother Allen, I don't feel clean at all. You need to feel clean. You see, Paul wrestled with this same problem. He said, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I see then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But then he makes a statement that's very important. He said, if I do that which I allow not, I can sin unto the law that is good. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. There is a separation between my spirit and my flesh. The flesh will be redeemed one of these days. It's going to be when I come up out of the grave. Or when the Lord comes back and I'm changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, I'm going to have a redemption of my body. But right now, until that time comes, I'm going to have a holy spirit and an unholy flesh. Now, we can worry and fret over that, or we can just accept the truth of that and go tell everybody else, come to Jesus. You see, He doesn't say, now go get cleaned up and then I'll save you. I'm thankful that He didn't say that to me. He says, come just as you are. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Why? Because it's all done. It's all paid for. I think then the next obstacle to keep us from witnessing that the devil uses is that we are doubtful. Listen to what he says in verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I went through a period of time when I was seeing a lot of people pray to receive Christ as Savior. And to be honest with you, the devil made me doubt if they were really getting saved. I was talking to people in stores. I was talking to people at gas stations. I had opportunity after opportunity, and when I shared the gospel, the people were ready and they would pray to receive Christ as their Savior. They didn't go to church. They didn't follow the Lord in baptism. And so I began to doubt the power of this gospel. But the truth is, it is all about God. Jesus saves. Whenever a person calls on his name, he saves just like that. You say, well, shouldn't they follow through? Absolutely. And it's to their hurt that they don't. But I want you to know, if a person is far away from God when they come to salvation, it's going to be a while before they get everything together. Because there's still that gap in their mind between those holy people down at the church and the sinful people outside the church. And so, whenever we understand the gospel is to sinners who cannot help God save them, then the gospel's for everybody. And it works for everybody. Listen to Romans 1:16. The Lord used this in my life to show me what my problem was. I was ashamed of the gospel. I did not trust the effectiveness of God's grace. Listen to what Paul says here. And no doubt he had to deal with this so that God would put that in his heart to write it down. It says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You say, brother, I don't know if you find some sinner that's just living in sin and they cry out to God. Will God save them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anywhere, anytime. God's grace is a powerful thing. I have seen children who have not gotten into the depths of sin pray a simple little prayer. Say, Lord, save me. Forgive me. He saves them just like that. I saw one man who was 3 days away from dying. Lost his ability to speak already. He had been low down, mean, rascal all of his life. On his road to hell and proud of it. And 3 days before he died, I shared the gospel with him. And the weight of his sin and the weight of his wasted life, you could just see that come onto his face. And tears ran down his cheeks. And there laying in the intensive care unit, St. Francis Hospital, he gave his life to Jesus. You say, boy, that's pushing it. It is. That's getting real close. But my point is this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the power of knowing how to debate. It's not the power of having all the answers. It is the power of God unto salvation. The words of the gospel are important. They're simple. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. You say, what about this? What about this? What about that's the gospel. And it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And sometimes we're just afraid. Afraid of being ridiculed. Afraid of being rejected. Rejection's a big problem in the world. The devil starts real early working on that in our lives. In school, we're rejected. We're in the workplace, we're rejected. Why? To keep our mouth shut. The devil wants us to be always afraid of rejection. So we don't want to say anything to anybody that they can reject us for. But look what Mark 8:34 through 38 says. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall save his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, we are afraid of the wrong one. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But being afraid of man, and being afraid of their faces, which that's just a way of saying afraid of their rejection, that closes our mouth, but the fear of the Lord will open our mouth and cause us to share his gospel with those that need it. Then I believe that another obstacle is that we are awkward. Now, what do I mean by that? I've heard a lot of people say, I would like to witness, but I just don't think I know enough of the Bible, and I always get my tongue tangled, and I can't say the right things. And what about that? Well, listen to what God told Moses. That was kind of his excuse. Exodus 4, verse 10 and 12 says this. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh thee dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You say, well, how's that work? I used to think, if only I was this way, or if only I was that way, I could do more for the Lord. If only I had this ability or that talent, I could do more for the Lord. But you know something I realized? God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Do you know that every one of us have been designed specifically the way God wants us to be? God don't make mistakes. You are exactly the way God wants you to be. Your speech impediment, if you have one, your nervousness, your shyness, your whatever. That's not by accident, it's by design. That's the way God made you. So that you are useful to somebody, somewhere, because you are just right for them. And the Lord told Moses, don't worry about it. I made your mouth. I know how your mouth works. I know how you stutter. I know all about that. But he said, now you go, and I'll be with your mouth. If you will speak for Jesus, he will give you what you need to say. That may not be eloquent. May not need to be eloquent. It may need to be stammering and stuttering. It may need to be really simple. And so if you were real eloquent, it might just go right over their head. But with you stammering and stuttering, they may be willing to open up and talk with you better. See, God knows all that. And every one of us has our own special gift, our own special way, our own special design. Awkward's not a problem with God. He can fix it. Now I want you to see the duty that we have in this. God requires that we be witnesses for him. The last thing he told the church before he left was that we are to go first to the place right around us. Then we're to go out further and out further to the ends of the world. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It's our duty. It's what we're here for. Listen to what he says here in verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, we have a responsibility because we have been saved. And others need the same thing that we've got. You see, we have a duty, first of all, because of our position. Do you know that? You have a position with God. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have a responsibility because of that. Listen to what 1 John 3:1-2 says. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that wonderful? Because of our position as the sons of God, we have a responsibility, because he wants everybody to be saved. Jesus said that he is not willing that any should perish, and he sends us to share with them what he has given to us. The maim, the halt, the bumbling, the stumbling, Jesus saves. And Jesus has sent us to tell them. Our position demands it. Also our privilege. We are a privileged people in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Romans 4:1-8 says. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I want you to know one of the greatest blessings that we have as Christians is that God will not charge our sin to our account. You say, well, why does that, our position and our privilege, cause us to need to witness? It's because we have the answer, folks. You see, the reason most people won't come to Jesus is because they don't understand salvation. What they believe is they've got to clean their life up. I've got to get all my ducks in a row. I've got to quit this and quit that and start doing this, and then I can come to Jesus. But you see, the privilege that we have is what they need. We have been saved by God's grace, and whenever we stumble, God does not charge it to our account. Do you know what that means? If you could go to heaven and get into the file cabinet where all the Christians have their lives filed away, you want to find some juicy stuff on Brother Frank, and you go in there and you pull it out, and you finally find Frank Belote's name, and you pull it out and you say, oh, I'm going to find out all the goods on Brother Frank. And you open it up, you know what you're going to find? The perfect life of Jesus. That's all that's there. Folks, that's what people need. That's what they need. That's what the homosexual needs. That's what the abortionist needs. That's what the murderer needs. That's what the liar needs. That's what everybody needs. We need all that old stuff taken out of that file and cast as far as the east is from the west, and back in its place, the perfect life of Jesus. You say, is it possible? It's not only possible, it is the plan. That's what Jesus has for us. That's what we are ambassadors of. We have the package. We're not saying if you'll come down here and believe in Jesus, he'll put you on the road and good luck to you. Hope you make it. No, we have a message from God who says, if you will put your trust in Jesus, you will make it. And our privilege demands that we tell others so that they might be saved as well. And we have a responsibility and a duty because of our placement. We have been placed in a particular place at a particular time. You may think that your job is just something that just accidentally fell upon you. It could have been anybody else, and you could have had any other job in the world, and that it's just coincidence. I want you to know there's no such thing as coincidence with God. You have been assigned to a place. Listen to what Mordecai, by inspiration, shared with Esther when she was thrust into the king's court. I've seen the movie about Esther's life and all that. I don't think any of that's right. I think she was taken in that by force, and I don't think she had any choice about it. I don't think she was too happy about it. But she was put there by God. Listen to what Mordecai had to say to her. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now I want you to understand something. We need to have a different view of life than most of us have. God brings us into contact with people. And you may be there as the one person who can lead them to Jesus. You may be there for such a time to bring them to faith in Jesus. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't be afraid. God is able to save to the uttermost all those that come to God through Him. This morning I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and ask Him, what is my part in witnessing? It may not be that you're to go door-to-door witnessing. That may not be your thing at all. But you have a thing. You have a part. Find out what that part is. It's going to be a part of your personality. People who have the ability to go door-to-door witnessing and that's their thing, they love it. My dad had that gift. He loved it. It didn't make him nervous. It didn't bother him. He didn't get butterflies in his stomach. He was just out looking for somebody. If it does you that way, that's not your thing. There are those who are called to intercessory prayer, and that's your thing. And I want you to know that's important. I believe most of the people that I have led to the Lord has been as a result of somebody in their family or in their relationships praying for them diligently until God stirred their heart. And then when God had their heart stirred, He sent me. That was my place, see. Now, it may be that you have the gift of mercy, and what you need to do is just show mercy to people, and through that love and that kindness, your light will bring them to Jesus. And then He'll bring somebody else to actually give the message. Find out what your thing is. The real crippling thing to the gospel is what people were saying there in the book of Romans and that Paul had to deal with. Well, I'm not the foot, so I'm not important. I'm not the head, so it doesn't matter what I do. I can't do this, so I'm not going to do that. But you see, it's all necessary for it to come together. The devil wants you to live under a guilt trip if you're not like everybody else. But God wants you to be his ambassador and just do what he has equipped you to do faithfully. And you know what that does for you and for me and whoever else will follow that? It brings joy into our life. Frustration and unhappiness quenches the spirit. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the only way to be joyful in the Lord is to get rid of the devil's influence in trying to run your life. You say, well, why would the devil want to run my witnessing life? If he can get you on the wrong track, it's just as beneficial to him as anything else. Find out your thing and then do it with all your heart. If it's to pray, pray with all your heart. If it's to go door to door, do it with all your heart. If it's to show mercy or to serve others, do it with all your heart so that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And then you can go before God one day. And even though you may never have gone door to door witnessing, you hear the Lord say, enter in, good and faithful servant. And you know one thing that's always amazed me about that statement? When God says, enter in, good and faithful servant, all those good and faithful servants say, when do we do that? You see, if we think we're a good and faithful servant, we're probably not. But whenever we are totally dependent upon the Lord, and we just do our little thing, whatever it is, then we don't feel like we need any stars for that. We don't need any big award for that. We're just doing what God's given us to do. Serving the Lord is a privilege. If it's not a privilege, you're in the wrong track. If you're not enjoying your ministry of being an ambassador for Jesus, you're doing it the wrong way. Because it is a joy to serve the Lord if you're doing it after your spiritual gift. Now, I would be amiss if I did not share the gospel this morning to those that may be here without Jesus. Let me tell you, salvation is a gift that has been paid for already. Salvation is a done deal. Jesus, as he calls us to himself,